advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
You on, Dave?
What?
Are you on? Oh, you're good. Okay. See, I didn't sabotage him.
Wonder what changed. Why it's doing that?
It just, I sabotaged him the first time.
Mm.
But
you just like turning Dave on at the beginning of every show.
Got to get him turned on.
That's right. That's right.
Push them buttons.
How are your weeks, gentlemen?
Long.
That's what she said.
Yep.
I've been watching The Office. I'm on season 6.
Oh, so you're full of, been, that's what she said.
Yeah. I've been binging through on Michael Scott for the week.
My week was really long. It felt like it was Thursday on Tuesday.
Damn, dude.
And the weekend just fucking flew by.
Blinked.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like already Monday again.
At least you got to get out of the heat.
Yeah. So I did almost get ran over by an Asian lady.
How'd that happen?
I just don't understand what people's problems are, especially Asians. Like this one was out of the tree. So I don't know where she was going in the first place.
That just means she might not.
But no, I was stopping traffic for a truck was like cross four lanes, like trying to back in somewhere. And I was stopping traffic and I had a fucking yellow bumblebee vest on, you know? And, I stopped two lanes of traffic.
Oh, you had to go out in the street.
I was picturing
your truck.
No. They were like, this truck was trying back in and I was like, they're like, here, throw this vest on, go out there and, you know, stop traffic. And I'm like, there's a fucking truck in front of you. Like, you're not going anywhere.
Those are pretty vague instructions, by the way, though.
Yeah. Go out and stop traffic. Yeah. So like cars are turning. I'm stopping them. They're stopped. And this fucking lady flies out in the middle lane, you know, the yellow line, you know, dotted center turn lane, flies out, tries to pass everybody.
Why is it got
to
be yellow?
Because she was yellow. So, and fucking gets about 3 feet from me and stops. I was about to have to jump out of the way. And I don't know where she was going. There's a fucking truck right in front of her. Maybe. She's going to run into the side of the truck.
Maybe she's so excited. She was like, that's so fucking rad.
I don't know. Or her eyes were just so.
Did she go? She goes hashtag fuck Brad. And she's like swerved off into the curb.
No.
Not one of our listeners.
She's fucking. She was pissed. She fucking flipped me off. And I waved at her. You know.
Was this in Los Angeles?
No, it was in North Dakota.
Damn, you got back quick.
Damn,
I did. I walked.
Dakotas.
Brad's got a new job. He's doing training. So your training is like, I thought you were just like in some weird like controlled yard where there's like a training facility. You're out in the wild. They're training on the job. Well, I mean, like, I thought that there was just like poles in the dirt.
No, we don't blow up anything in the yard. There's like a desert area we blow things up at.
Yeah, that's where the explosions happen.
All right. Yep. I'm really lost.
Yeah.
trying to be serious. How dare I try to be serious?
Try it again right now.
Yeah. So we have
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, dang it. We have another Yucateco winner. I could do that. That's serious business.
That is serious.
You guys could fuck that
I'm
up.
I'm going to be quiet.
Sure. I doubt that. So Mateo Bridges is our winner this
week.
We're
going to talk about Yucateco and butt raping on this episode.
See what happened? But he posted on our weekly post.
Mantello?
Mateo Bridges.
Is that the same thing as the Mateo effect?
He was adopted by Jeff Bridges' family, actually.
That would be horrible.
I don't know where Mateo's from, but where's he from? The jungle somewhere.
Who?
Mateo.
Who are you talking about?
What?
Mateo.
Jeff Bridges? I think he's from Indiana.
Probably Mandalay Bay.
Jesus Christ. So anyways, Mateo Bridges, you won the El Yucateco contest for the week. And also, I had offered t-shirts Or a chance to win a t-shirt on several posts about 30 days ago. I'm going to do that once a month, and we got tons of people. So I got to sort through there and figure out who won and why. So I promise if you shared it, you did get a chance at that. Someone will get picked from those pools, but it was on Twitter. It was on Instagram. There's a couple on Facebook. So I owe like 5 t-shirts out to some people, and I'll pick those and announce them, or I'll random hat it somehow. But I haven't done that yet, and I'm sorry. Don't think I'm falsely offering you prizes and not giving them to you. So,
are you really sorry?
I'm a little bit sorry inside. Okay. The logistic, like a professional businessman in me goes, damn, I should really be better about that. But technically, I'm not really late. I posted it on the 29th, and my intent was at the end of the month to give it out. So
you're good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of right on track.
Well, you're not late on that. Your period's late, though.
That's a problem. That's got me worried.
Yeah. Did you reset? Yeah. You on a different cycle?
I'm late. I'm late.
Different
sometimes.
Dude.
Yeah.
Hanging out with James a lot, so you cycled.
It is. We might have been lined up a little. We're mooning. Yeah. I think that's the term for that. Yeah.
Wait, like getting married with the Moonies?
No.
Yeah. Mooning? Mass ceremony. That's their new.
My nipples are sore. I've been a little bit emotional. I'm kind of flying off the handle a little bit here and there. I've been craving ice.
Just
cream.
Hormones.
Yeah. Chocolate and wine.
Chocolate and wine. Pickles.
I'm just stuck on the sore nipples. I haven't heard anything after that. I had an image in my brain. I couldn't shake it.
I'm just concerned about where your hands went when you heard me say it. That was the uncomfortable part.
Right here.
All right. Why don't you put them on that whiskey right there and tell us who got it for us.
Ooh, yeah. So we have a whiskey called the Irishman Founders Reserve. It is a small batch Irish whiskey sent to us from Bruce Bankhead.
He sent us whiskey last week. This is the second bottle, actually.
Gentlemen.
All right. I was almost broke. That's really good.
Oh, that's really good.
So it was the last one. What was that Lead Slinger? Was the other one he sent?
And that was rye whiskey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah, because you said, why risky?
Why risky?
That's right. It was why risky.
That's why that Asian tried to run me over.
Yeah.
This one, to me, it's got sort of fragrant notes of green apple and honey.
Wow.
And a little bit of pot spice and sort of like summer fruits.
Yeah, it wasn't spicy, though.
No, with a deep finish of like maybe spiced oak and butterscotch.
Now that you say that, I do taste it.
I'm impressed with your analyzing that. I mean, it feels like you read it off the bottle or something.
How dare you, sir? It was spicy. Yeah. How's that? You like that better?
It was good.
Suck on spicy.
It tastes like more than
that's
$20.
Actually really good. Yeah.
And the thing is, though, I read that
it does have the apple.
It does.
Apple aphernaced.
What the fuck? How many glasses did you have?
6.
Okay, so our topic today, this topic.
Well, just disclaimer, if you don't like raping kids,
yeah,
cannibalism, eating and drinking your own urine and piss.
This made me want to pre-screen
killing
topics.
4-year-olds.
This month we did really good. We were like a month ahead on topics, but the last week got kind of crazy and I didn't know anything about this guy. And I was just like, well, it's too late now. That's the topic. We're studying it.
This is
I thought
roughness.
He was a scientist and then
this
I started reading.
I knew exactly. I didn't know anything at all. And then Brent said, yeah, we're going to do Albert Fish. I don't know who Albert Fish is. Is he a cult leader? Is he a scientist? I have no clue. And I'm like once.
I didn't think serial killer. That's
no,
not,
I did.
That
it
didn't
was,
pop into my head.
I'm sure it was a possibility to me, but because like
it's usually like fucking such and such, the killer of fucking
right.
dandruff.
Right. You always
you know
the killer of dandruff.
Yeah,
I remember and that guy.
Yeah, you remember him?
Yeah. Head and shoulders.
Yeah, or the maniac of Milton Town or something. You know, like,
Hayden Shoulders.
Yeah, Hayden Shoulders. That guy,
dandruff killer. He's the.
That's him.
Yeah. He scalped all
episode
of
37.
Just barely.
He scalped.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just barely scalped.
He just made it where your scalp was flaky as shit.
Yeah. He just shaved your head. And used a pumpkin knife on you.
They call them fish scales.
He's all. I need you to put this black turtleneck on real quick right before we begin.
He filmed all his victims. He humiliates you with dandruff.
I need you to walk into that dinner party and you're not allowed to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't open your fucking mouth.
But this guy, Albert Fish, I was like, once I, cause I, you know, you read it and it's sort of like all the articles and all the research goes chronologically. So it just starts and you're like, okay, this guy's a serial killer. It's going to get bad. And like, you never know how bad it's going to get. Like, you just kind of start. No, he was a child and whatever. But when it got bad, it got fucking bad. And I thought, how do we hear about, I mean, this is in the early 1900s. I mean, this isn't long. I mean, we hear about Jack the Ripper. We hear about all these serial killers. This guy, to me,
is worse
than perhaps anybody we've studied. This might
he's
be the
worse
worst
than
guy.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, hands down. Like, no fucking competition.
I think the child factor is.
Yeah.
I don't even think. Because you could take the same Jeffrey Dahmer and him take the same body, and Jeffrey
Dahmer could the same body.
They could. Jeffrey Dahmer did less disgusting things to the body.
And he was less descriptive. I think what really gets you is you read his letters, and we'll read a couple of them on the show today. And like, I mean, they get down to like recipes of how he cooked people and it's fucking disturbing. Yeah. So pre-warning, if you're a true crime person and you love serial killers and murder and
it's
all that,
not recipes of how he cooked people. It's recipes of how he cooked the 4-year-old.
Yeah. Things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah,
it's bad. This is bad. It's rough. So Albert Fish,
if I'm saying it's bad, it's bad.
Yes.
That's where we're at here, people.
Yeah. When I got done, I just thought, wow, this is the worst monster we've ever talked about. This guy. And like, no one's heard of him. That's what tripped me out. I was like, how have I never heard of this guy before?
Probably we haven't heard of him, but maybe our fan base and listeners.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure if you're like a true crime person, a lot of people have, but I just think the average Joe on the street hasn't heard of this guy, but they've heard of less monstrous serial killers than this.
And thought they were bad.
Yeah, yeah. This guy. So Albert Fish, he was born Hamilton Howard Fish in 1870. And he did have several nicknames, but they don't show up when you first do your searches, which again was why it didn't seem like he was going to be a serial killer right when I started the searches. But he went by, some people called him the Gray Man, the Werewolf of Wisteria, the Brooklyn Vampire, the Moon Maniac. I'm glad that didn't stick. That's really lame. And the Boogeyman.
Well, the reason he changed his name to Albert is because kids in the orphanage teased him and called him Ham and Eggs.
Yeah.
Because his name was Hamilton. Yeah. And I was like, his name already had food in it. It was fucking fish.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He dropped the ham. Yeah. Kept the fish.
Kept the fish. Yeah. He's a pescatarian.
Yeah.
So his childhood, I mean, again, interesting background. His father, Randall Fish, was 43 years older than his mom.
Yeah.
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 That's where he got his taste for younger.
And, that's the spread. And his family had a history of mental illness.
Yes.
His dad was 75 years old when he was born.
When he was born.
Yeah.
And he was a
strong swimmer.
He was a
strong swimmer.
Like he was Hugh Hefner.
He was a riverboat captain.
He had to like tie yarn around two popsicle sticks to even make that shit happen. Yeah. He was 75.
That's why he was a sailor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was born in 1795. No, that'd be 100. No, he's an old ass bastard. Like he was, if he was a riverboat captain, he was riverboating. Like,
He was motorboating.
He was motorboating, like during the Civil War.
Right.
Like, so he was a fucking manly
apparently he
ass
still, he was still motorboating at age 75.
Yeah, he was.
What happened in 1876? Was that the,
You always ask questions. You're not assuming we have the answers.
No, I'm asking. You guys are smart guys. I'm just asking. And Dave's not a history professor. I'm not helping. You're not fucking helping.
It wasn't that when Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
No, that was in 1876.
That was
in 1492.
No, in 1876, it's true. Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's the rhyme.
No,
I'm pretty sure that's it. You can look it up.
The West Indies were discovered in 1876. That makes sense. Okay.
We're good. See, we're on board. If it's not Castle Times, we're not interested.
Yeah, I don't.
So his father dies of a heart attack when he's 80.
What?
Driving down the street. And his mom has no way to make money, nothing. Like, she's completely penniless. So she has to give up all of her children to an orphanage because she can't afford to raise them.
To the most fucked up orphanage, too.
Yeah. It's kind of like,
I wonder if all orphanages were like that.
I think so.
You know why? I mean, they were all run by like the church at that point, I'm sure.
Probably.
So it was like the Catholicism. Yikes, I can't talk. Mm-hmm. So they spank you. That's just part of the religion.
And it was a hard knock life.
Right.
No, they didn't just spank him, though.
spanked.
They tortured him
until he was rock hard.
And that, so I just, I had a problem with the orphanage thing in this era because all I could picture was Annie.
Yeah, that me too.
And then I wanted to see like a musical named Albie about Albert Fish. It's just like,
for me, it was just your crotch with an orange afro just playing Annie. You know, it's a hard knock life. Just seeing your crotch singing that the whole time. It was bad.
There's a bet your bottom dollar. Like there's something that would work somehow. A spanking somehow. No.
I thought my crotch had clown hair.
Well, it was just orange this
time. Oh, just an orange wig though. You said
this time. Yeah. It was over.
It changes a lot.
Yeah,
it's like the Christina Aguilera.
It is. It is.
You never know.
No, it's more.
Well, I'm honored.
It's always attractive.
I'm honored to have the Christina Aguilera of crotches.
Yeah.
I'm honored.
Or what's her name? Lady Gaga. You have Lady Gaga crotch.
My crotch is.
Yeah, it might be wearing a meat suit one day, and then the next time it's wearing an 80s. Like
it's always wearing a meat suit.
Yeah.
I'm glad it can entertain. So at age 10, his mom ends up getting a government job and is able to take the kids back out of the orphanage.
It's too late. He's rock hard and spanking.
It's too late at this point.
He witnessed all kinds of crazy things too. He saw other kids getting molested and kids being together. And I think what happened is like, that's a critical time during that age period of sexuality. And he got introduced to all the wrong things. Like he was getting spanked on a daily basis. And that type of stimulation in that area, given the fact that hormones are going around, he should have been jerking off to like, I don't know, catalog ads or something.
Yeah, on a second note, if you're into 50 Shades of Grey, this is your man.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah,
he's got that BDSM.
This is your guy.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Mr. Grey.
Yeah.
Oof.
50 Shades of the Grey Man.
He ends up having a fucked up time at the orphanage, beating, sexual molestation, seeing other kids get molested, all this stuff.
His first feeling of arousal was during that time. Like, he got like a boner when he got spanked.
So he doesn't have the typical like domineering mom, whack and shed, like serial killer upbringing. He's got like I'm stuck in an Annie orphanage getting raped with a hard knock life. Bet your bottom dollar tomorrow.
So at age 12, he develops a romantic relationship with another boy.
Yes. And you can imagine at age 12 in 1882, having a relationship with another boy was about as fucking taboo as it got.
Yeah, oh, for
like
sure.
1882, you have
sounds like he didn't really care though.
Like, no, I don't think he did care.
Publicly, apparently, well, privately, everybody was a freak.
Like I said, his uncle suffered from mania. His brother was confined in a state mental hospital. His sister was diagnosed with mental affliction, whatever the fuck that is.
And and
three other relatives were diagnosed with mental illness. His mother had oral.
Both.
Yeah, she had oral hallucinations.
Oral and visual hallucinations. So she was fucking crazy.
And another article that I read said that his brother suffered from what they called religious mania. I don't know what the fuck that means, but that was his mental illness, was religious mania.
Probably just an obsession with religion.
I mean, Albert Fish has religious mania when he really gets going.
It's like WrestleMania, but with Jesus and the saints.
That's right. St. John, I'll see you this Sunday, brother.
Ooh, yeah, brother. When I make that elbow drop on you, you're going to feel the pain. Jesus, you ain't walking your way out of this one. Give me that silver Judas. You're going down.
It's this. Oh my God. The silver Judas. Yeah. The silver Judas.
Yeah.
Never watched wrestling.
Yeah.
Sip my drink over here.
Oh, so good. If I do say so myself. I don't know where we were.
Brother, we're on brother love.
His brother. That's right. Brother religious mania.
Yeah.
He was gay with a boy.
He ends up but again, like to just say, he was gay with a boy doesn't sum it up because
no, this is his first lover.
Like this is where he starts to learn to have a taste for urine and human feces.
Brad, I'll tell you, if you're thirsty and you got no other choices.
Hey, we're in a drought.
Yeah.
But
it's your urine. If it's your urine, you're okay.
Yeah. I suspect it was.
That's why it's called urine.
That's right. It's not we-in.
Yeah. It's not yours in.
It's in your.
Yeah. Right.
It's in your bladder.
So he develops a taste for the pee and the poo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Yeah. They actually had names for that. I didn't know.
Yeah, coprophagia is the poo taste. I forget what the urine one is.
It's like urinopoly or something.
I think that's it. That is it. It's urinopoly.
Urolagnia.
Urolagnia.
Pass, go.
Yeah.
So through his teens, this is what he's got. So a background of horrible abuse, a family of mental illness, whether that's biological or because the whole family is just fucked up, you know, and they like, whether it's nature or nurture, it's a crazy family.
He's fucked, yeah, you know? He's fucked up both ends.
He's fucked. And that's, and his kin are fucked up before they got sent to an orphanage and fucking raped and beaten up and everything else. So he's off to the races. I pick up next when he's like 20 and he moves to New York. Did I miss it? Yeah, teenage stuff.
No, it's prostitute time.
Yeah, prostitute time.
I didn't get that he was a prostitute, yes, but he was raping boys. Like that doesn't go together, right?
He wanted to fuck little boys, but they're not going to pay him, so he had to make money. So
and this was
prostituting for women, and
this
then.
Not necessarily.
He was doing oral sex on either or, and not just normal oral sex. He was tossing salads.
Ooh.
Like he was. Yeah, it said that he would orally copulate the rectum of men and women.
Yeah.
So he was rim jobs. That was a specialty. Was rim jobs. Throw you off there, Dave?
Yeah, you really did. That was a detail I didn't know. This whole thing is full of sighs and
surprises.
Pauses.
Yeah.
To save him from his prostitution, his mom arranges a marriage.
Right.
So he has an arrangement.
Well, no, that's what I was going
to
say.
His prostitution wasn't satisfying him enough that he still had to go and rape
boys. He still had to rape boys, yeah.
Fucking.
Because he couldn't prostitute with boys. But the thing that's weird about this case and this guy is all the articles I read, it would just say, and this is when he started raping young boys,
right?
And it was like, how many boys, like who, like what?
Because
and then it's like this no is count. When he started stabbing people, and it's like, fucking stabbing who, like, yeah, what, like,
he got stabbed,
what are you talking
names.
And there were just these casual, and I think it all comes from his confession once he was caught,
right?
Like he said, oh, this is when I started raping boys in New York City.
He's not gonna say who and where,
and he probably doesn't even know,
because the official record will only ever, you know, solidify what they have physical proof,
right,
that can connect,
right,
that would lead to conviction for. So I think his ultimate thing is only for like five people, but he claims to have had a boy in every state.
Right.
And we don't know if that means had a boy like chopped raped off their nibbly bits, yeah, or spanked the shit out of him, yeah, and let him go, or
gave him a rim job.
Yeah. Or gave him a rim job.
And I just, I don't,
he was
I
a tired man.
I think he was boasting.
Think so?
Because everything, like his,
he was crazy.
His entire history doesn't take him out of New England.
He's a traveling painter, though, at one point.
But everything is in Pennsylvania, in New York, in Washington, D.C. Like, he's just in the sort of northern, you know, East Coast.
Maybe
like, there was no
accent,
there was
boy.
No discussion of him like that time he was in Salt Lake City. And right. So I'm just calling bullshit on him. I'm sure he raped a boy from every state.
Yeah.
But I doubt
and maybe
that.
And maybe
like, I don't know that he went to all the like in the eight, like in what, 1900?
Nobody said he had to go there.
That's true.
He lives in fucking New York. And
that's
shit.
True.
There's
you
people there
everybody.
From all over.
That's true. Yeah. Because that would have been quite a jaunt.
Maybe that was just his opening
they came
line.
To him.
Like, so where are you from? And he's like, Texas. I don't got one.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, you ever had your asshole licked?
Yeah, it's a date.
Yeah. Here, everything's bigger in Texas. Let me see that starfish.
Let me find out. Ooh, so
show me Patrick.
His roaring, Jesus, his roaring 20s, he becomes a prostitute. And yeah, his mom arranges a marriage. So I didn't know that the marriage was an arrangement to get him.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're guessing that might have been part of it.
Because
all
that
I read
best.
Was that it was an arranged marriage, and I thought that was odd in 19, you know.
9 years as junior.
Well, he commits to it. He goes for it. They have six kids. And
oh, yeah. He's,
He kind of stands by that. It's really weird. Like, he has a completely separate set of morals. I mean, he's not faithful by any means, but he doesn't mistreat the children. He never like speaks loudly even to them or disciplines or whips them or molests them.
Right.
Or does
no anything of him hurting or molesting.
No, at one point they
or his wife.
There's grandkids and he's like, oh, she's a little dancer and she's going to go on a new dance this weekend or something. Like, and it's a completely separate set of rules to his own family.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Except for he does like the kids and friends to paddle.
Well, we get there.
With
we'll
his,
get there.
Yeah,
you're, skip,
his,
you're skipping yeah. ahead. You're skipping ahead. So he ends up working as a house painter. He continues molesting children, mostly boys younger than age six.
Oof. Yeah.
Ugh. That's rough. Yeah. I mean, if it was seven, that'd be one thing, but man.
Yeah. Poor 6 year olds.
He, at one point during all of his confessions, he talks about a fact that at one point he and a male lover went to a wax museum, and in the wax museum was a wax bisection of a penis.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what got him into cannibalism.
Like, that's kind of where a lot of stuff started. Like, yeah. He started to get a fascination with dissecting, bisecting.
Well, it's not like you could see that, you know? Like, he's like, I gotta get in there, man. Like, I want to see that again.
Yeah.
Right.
You'd have to go to the wax museum and fucking jerk off in front of the exhibit.
Right.
Yeah. You know, if that got your jollies, there's not a lot you can do.
Yeah, he started splitting open hot dogs at first, you know?
Didn't he steal it?
I didn't see that he stole it.
I think he stole the bisected penis.
Hell yeah.
And then short. And you get at me for shoplifting.
Hey, if you're going to steal something.
Yeah, know. Might as well be a bisection.
Might as well be a bisected penis. And that's when he becomes into sexual mutilation. He gets arrested for grand larceny in 1903, and he gets sent to Sing Sing, which is a prison. And this is just his life, right? I mean, but he's still married. He's still, you know, the whole thing. This
is the crazy one.
This is the first one that I read, and it's like, oh, this is where we're going.
Hey, he gave the guy $10. I'll
just
say that.
So, yeah. So
this whole thing.
The takeaway of this story is he gave a friend his $10.
Yeah.
Like, that's the takeaway.
And at the end of it, you can say, I just feel sorry for the kid.
Yeah.
It's entirely
you really can. Yeah, yeah. It is relevant in this.
So in 1910, he was in Delaware, and he met a 19-year-old named Thomas Kedden. And a lot of what Fish said suggested that he was mentally challenged.
It sounded kind of mutual.
It sounded mutual, but he sounded like the guy was mentally disabled.
Intellectually disabled.
But and that fits his MO, because as you start to see it, like as he starts to rape and kill and kidnap people.
It's either they're really young, like
they're really young.
Or
they're mentally challenged. Or
they're black.
They're
black.
Because
nobody cares about them.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly why he did it, because he knew there wasn't going to be a social uproar about a missing black kid or a missing mentally retarded kid, because people are just going to think, oh, they live in a bad neighborhood. That's what happens to black kids. Yeah. He was mentally disabled. He probably wandered off. Like, so he could kind of cover his tracks more with those people. But so he takes Kedden to an old farmhouse where they go into some kind of what he claimed was mutual, but I don't know if I can trust his account of this.
Maybe in the beginning.
Yeah. But for 2 weeks, they had like this sadomasochistic, like,
sex torture
thing. And
domination.
So eventually, Fish ties up Kedden, cuts off half of his penis.
He gets him hard before he does it. Yeah.
I didn't see that part. You might have more details than I do.
He just gets him hard, and then chops off half his penis, because he had intent on killing him.
Like left, right, or front, back?
I think just in half. He describes the fixing of the wound. Did you read that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So chops it off, but then he said the look on the guy's face of like...
He said, quote, I shall never forget his scream or the look he gave me.
He wasn't into it anymore.
He must have been into it, because it seems like he was surprised and disappointed that half his wiener just cut off.
Yeah. So he says that he originally planned to kill him, cut up his body, and take it home. But it was so hot outside that he thought the guy would go off.
They didn't have Yeti coolers.
They didn't have Yeti coolers, and he was afraid that the stench would give him away, which is the only reason he didn't do it. So, so he wraps the penis in a Vaseline-covered hanky.
He poured peroxide on that.
Pours peroxide on the wound.
Cleans it up.
Yeah. Wraps it in a Vaseline-covered hanky and gives him $10 and kisses him goodbye.
$10 is a lot back then.
Gave him a kiss
goodbye. Yeah. I'm just impressed with the guy, because, I mean, he cut half of it off and he's fucking bleeding. Blood's the only thing giving that thing any size. He still has enough left that the guy's working with it and putting Vaseline and a fucking tying a handkerchief around it. That guy must have been pretty, he had huge feet. A guy. The handicapped guy had huge feet for sure.
I think Bryn's analyzing this way too much.
Oh,
I'd steal one if it was at the wax museum.
And I'm just going to go on record, as saying it only gets worse from here.
Yeah, the kiss goodbye.
Like this is an appetizer.
This is just the beginning.
This is just is an appetizer.
It's
this
funny
is
though. The kiss goodbye in $10. It's like the cab money and like thanks.
Yeah,
it's like the one night stand, but it was a 10-night torture. Right, yeah, I cut your dick off and put Vaseline on the nose.
He says, "Quote: took the first train I could get back home. Never heard what became of him or tried to find out. And then he just went back home to his wife and kids.
Yeah, was the guy tied up?
Yeah,
fucking had to die." A lot of blood flow going on down there. That's
no, he was tied up when he cut his hoo-hoo off, but I don't know if he was tied up when he left. Seems like if you were going to give him $10 and a kiss goodbye, you'd untie him.
It's called his peewees. That's what he was calling like that.
No, I think it was his monkey.
Oh, yeah. Was it?
Monkey yeah. What are the peewees?
The balls.
The balls, yeah. It's the pork and beans.
Okay.
Yeah. The peppers and sausage.
Yeah. There's more, I'm sure. I got nothing.
So,
biscuits and gravy. No.
Yep. I'll go with that. So, in 1917, his wife leaves him for a handyman who boarded in their house.
Tom and Jerry's.
So he came in and fucking railed her, and then she left with him.
Well, I'm sure there were rumors abound that he fucking lived in that house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was probably like, I don't know what he's doing. He smells like mentally handicapped dick and Vaseline.
But if he was gone for 2 weeks at a time torturing people, like they couldn't have had that intense of a. But then again, he was a traveling painter. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, I mean,
it was
a specialized, you know, job, I guess. But they said part of the thing that was so great about that for his motives was that he was always naked under his coveralls. So, and well, he was wearing,
that's a weird thing. I'm naked under my clothes right now.
No,
too.
The coveralls though. So he's wearing like the suit that you would wear if you're going to go murder someone and not get blood on you, or because of his sexual arousal thing, he could just drop those coveralls and be naked with a quickness. Cause it's just one big zipper. They're off. It's like fetid pajamas.
Yeah. He can drop them and then beat his dick with some bark real quick.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing him like jumping out of a phone booth with the Superman theme playing as he drops the overalls naked flying through the air.
And it's like kind of a nondescript outfit. Like it's like,
just oh, probably he's a white painter. White
here's me. Look at me. I'm just a painter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so his wife leaves him, takes most of his possessions.
Not most, like everything.
Yeah.
Like he walked into the house being like, it's an empty house full of six kids crying.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
She must have been like, you kids wait here. I'll be right back. We just got to put one more thing in the car and like fucking bailed because he came
home. She probably left the kids because they were all fucking crazy too.
But here's the thing. Like most of this comes from his accounts and his interviews.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's only his side.
He's kind of like, yeah, I was totally surprised that she left. And it's like, were you really, you crazy fucking bastard?
He kept raising the kids up.
Yeah, he kept but I'm just thinking like she probably was fully aware that this was a baby raping weirdo and took a chance to just get the fuck out.
Why would you leave the kids though?
I don't know.
I don't know. You think for 19 years he just did it missionary and he was just like, no, this is normal.
Yeah,
like,
he tried to. Yeah, or fucking the needles in his dick fucking stabbed her a few times.
Yeah, that might be Well, no, because this is where he starts putting the needles in his dick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
my bad.
Yeah. Speaking of which, so his wife leaves him with all the kids, and he at this point apparently this is where he snaps. This is where he starts hearing. God talked to him.
Yeah, he wrapped himself up in the carpet because John the Apostle told him to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the religious mania.
The Apostle?
He's cutting weight.
Yeah, he was. He's wrapping a carpet, you know.
I did that in high school a couple of times.
So this is also where he starts to sort of fulfill his masochistic needs, and he starts sticking needles into his groin and abdomen. Oof. And he starts hitting himself with a nail studded paddle.
Did you guys see the x-ray picture?
Yeah.
I didn't see the
29
picture.
Needles lodged in his pelvis and penis.
Yeah.
He said at one point he put a needle into his scrotum, but he said, if only pain wasn't so painful, I couldn't stand
too much.
And that's like one of the only needles he removed. He couldn't leave it in his scrotum.
There's 29.
But the doctor said some of them were like, in some scary fucking places. Like they were just like centimeters away from fucking wrecking havoc. Like, and it just, they just healed up in there and he just lived.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah.
But
because it's constantly hurting him though.
Yeah.
You move.
Yeah.
You sit down.
Take a needle in the taint, man.
And,
like,
oh, and they're like, these aren't, I mean, to give you the picture, these aren't like needles poked in like acupuncture. These are pushed all the fully way inserted yeah. into his body.
Yeah, they're
cavity.
Like 1920 grandma sewing needles too. Yeah. It's like old yep. school yeah. fucking.
And so they're inside of his body cavity. Yeah, the taint area oh. in between the hips and pelvis. They're shoved up in there. So he's walking around with these needles inside of his body cavity.
I would probably want a needle in my dick before I want a needle in my taint. Like my butthole is puckering talking about that.
Well, how
shit.
About this though? Because the other account was that he would take wool doused in lighter fluid,
put it in
and
his
he
ass.
Would stick it in his ass and light it on fire.
Yeah, this guy's fucking great.
I told one of my buddies while I was studying. He said it sounds like Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get him together and yeah. do a little ritual and see yeah. how much he likes it.
So, and again, this is a point where he reiterates that he never hurt his children, according to his own accounts. But he did admit that he would try to get the kids and their friends to paddle
Hit
his
him
ass
with,
a nail-studded
yeah.
paddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a picture. I don't know if it was like a reenactment one, but like it's just like a piece of fucking wood with like 20 little nails stuck out through it. And he yep. would like slam it on his back.
Yeah.
And then on one of the reenacted interviews I saw in a documentary, it was like someone was voice acting his words. And he said, the problem with inflicting pain on yourself is after a while you get used to it and you have to find something more painful.
Yeah.
And then just looking at that fucking board, I was like, yeah. God damn.
More painful than sticking needles inside of you.
In your tank.
Not through your skin, not, you know, like where it's coming out the other side, not fucking piercing your nipples, putting needles in your taint.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the way in.
And the flaming wool ass.
Yeah.
I might want the hot wool ass before I want the needle in my
taint. I think so, but I wonder if that heats up the needles inside there. Oh man. So this is on his way where now he's developing a growing insatiation for cannibalism.
Yeah, this is where he starts
preparing himself dinner with solely cooked solely with raw meat, feeding yeah. it to himself and his children.
Yeah. He starts to eat raw meat and he starts to have his children eat raw
yes.
meat.
I watched
not ramen.
My crazy
not ramen.
Have you seen
not ramen yet?
No, he cooks all the men.
Yeah.
Not many men, it's boys, but
many men.
There was a My Strange Obsession or whatever where people like eat toilet paper and fucking their plant
diapers
pots
and shit,
chalk man. And soap fucking and shit.
Idiots.
And
there make was a love dude, to their cars.
Yeah, there was a dude that there was a chick that was like sexually aroused by the fucking Eiffel Tower, and she would like straddle it and just make all these weird.
Oh, she's
faces.
The one that had the fake souvenir of the Eiffel Tower, and she fucked herself with it.
I didn't see that, but that would be a lot easier than straddling the real thing. But
yeah.
I think she wanted the power between her legs. She would do it publicly. But no, there was a dude that would eat raw
she's
meat.
She's never met.
And I was like, dude, okay, maybe the steak, I can kind of see that shit, but he was just like spooning fucking like ground beef. But then when it came to the chicken, I was like,
oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
E. coli scare right now at the house.
I'm just thinking about like biting through raw chicken like that. Yeah. Right now I might die.
Are you in the range?
Dude, I'm like
three houses out.
So
he's and I was how like, do they consider the, like, where do they draw the boundary at of like where that, shit got in your
so
water?
So my house is built in like 1937. So let you guys know what we're talking about. Last night in the news, there was an emergency announcement that like fucking, it didn't even go out like an Amber Alert. Or anything,
no,
it was like your friend had to text it to
yeah.
you. It's like, if you live in this area, we had a damaged main and all the water in this area
mine up,
has tested
news.
For E. coli. And you have to boil your water till further notice. And I was like, fuck, that means shower. Everything. So I was like re-examining my situation. I was like, what the fuck do we use tap water for? I was like, okay, showers, that's a fucking problem. But I was like, coffee, it gets boiled, but I can use bottled water. I was like, we were cooking, we wash our dishes with it, it dries. Am I still gonna get that? Do I have to
exactly can you take a shower?
Yeah, it says no, it says you're fine to take a shower. It's like, am
what if
I
think it's in your mouth.
Exactly.
In your eyes.
Yeah, shower water never gets in my mouth.
If you have open wounds, that you could get it. But I was thinking we have a swimming pool, but I was like, there's chlorine in the swimming pool. That's probably okay. It's such a silent killer. It feels so clean. But yeah, so right now I boiled a giant ass Indiana Jones cooking pot last night of water and then waited for it to cool overnight and poured it into our Brita filters so that my kids would have fucking clean water. I guess to clean water. I was like, I have to study for the podcast. You should be good. And I said, only drink the water out of the pitchers. You know, they're not supposed to leave the house. They're not going to go swimming anyway. So yeah,
we didn't drink water, Dad. We made Kool-Aid.
Yeah, we put sugar in it. It doesn't taste bad at all. Like, no, it's not about tasting bad.
That's a pretty small little area.
Yeah, it's a small area. It's probably one water reserve, like one particular.
Oh, you're right there.
It's ooh, right on the fucking
it's
edge.
It's right on your... Ooh. It's right
yeah, I could throw a baseball at the guy who's shitting his brains out from E. coli, and he would catch
it. I think your side of the street is on it.
But it's not highlighted. It's not shaded right there.
Oh, you're down. Okay, yeah. Okay. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, you're fucked.
I mean, it's an all or nothing deal. Like, you're either in the range of those pipes or you're not.
That's weird, though. I feel like that old school plumbing, like, really? Those pipes don't touch those pipes? Like, that water doesn't crisscross? That my water comes from some other fucking place? No way.
I think so, just based on the way the city grows, the different wells they tap into, the different...
Yeah, that is a new neighborhood behind me versus, mm-hmm. like, mine's old 1930s houses and shit. I don't know, but I don't feel bad yet. Should be fine, man. Because I definitely drink coffee out of the coffee pot. You're gonna die. I mean, I've definitely... You know, showered with my mouth wide open into the faucet for
well,
no
you've ate enough human shit. You've ate enough human shit.
Yeah.
You're probably fine.
I don't even use toilet paper.
That's why I drink my own piss.
Building up your immunity.
Yeah, you get immune.
Yeah.
You get immune real quick.
You get immune to what?
Everything.
Your own piss?
Yeah.
Everything. And you get second vitamins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus yeah. Christ.
I take really good vitamins, like they're first, yeah. so that when they come back through, it's just the second.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Because you can't process all of them.
No, you can't.
But when you drink your own piss, you process all of them.
Yeah.
Your piss first is taken, really.
They're like vitamin store vitamins. On the recycle, it's like Rite Aid vitamins.
Yes. Walmart.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It actually saves you money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just take vitamins every other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 1919. Side note, he stabbed an intellectually disabled boy in Georgetown.
I think he probably wanted to see if he could cross the line. I was trying to figure that out. Like, why did he stab it? I think he was like, he hadn't actually, I mean, he cut a wiener off already though.
He didn't cut it off. He just cut it.
No, he cut half of it off.
Yeah. Mm.
He chopped it in half. That's why I was bragging about the fact the guy had enough half left that you could do stuff with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but he cut it in half. He doesn't think he killed the guy, so now he's going to try and kill somebody.
Right. So he's still testing the waters. And then that's in 1919. Jump to 1924. Fish found an 8-year-old named Beatrice Keel playing alone on her parents' farm. He offered her money to come help him look for rhubarb. So apparently rhubarb is the new stamps.
Oh yeah.
Like, until raisins come around.
Yeah.
So rhubarb.
I think this is like the same time though as Chicatello though.
That's
like
it's true.
Like maybe the serial killers were like passing along secrets.
Yeah.
Like how do you lure children or people into the woods?
Staten Island, no one's coming for stamps.
Yeah. Everybody loves strawberry rhubarb.
Yeah, everybody loves rhubarb.
Yeah.
See, I can't stand rhubarb, so I would have been safe.
Oh, I love rhubarb.
I've never had it.
It's fucking good.
Can't stand it.
Spicy. So,
it's not. Golden apple
it's taste. You've never had strawberry rhubarb pie? Strawberry rhubarb pie?
I wasn't going to do it anymore. I have not.
It's like tongue twister. Not
you know what
really,
I saw
but
this
really.
Weekend, though? We went to Ventura, Santa Paula specifically, and we were driving down to my brother's house, and there's a ton of cactuses on the side of the road, and it has that purple...
Cactuses.
Mm-hmm. And it has that purple fruit. That's edible?
Yeah, I think so.
Hundreds of those things.
Well, cactus is edible.
It looked risky, but I wanted to try it. For one, the farmer might shoot me with a rock salt. And secondly, I might get prickly pricked from the cactuses.
Rock salt.
I know there's some cactuses there is were gonna fruit get me. That people eat off of cactuses, but I don't
know. Yeah, there is. I don't know if it's purple or not.
Bulbous and purple. Which obviously is going to get my tingling.
Are you sure that wasn't
Are we talking about the same kind of cactus?
Are you talking about the farmer?
Yeah. He was a prick.
It was salty.
It's purple and bulbous.
Yeah. What type of rock salt are we talking about? Was it liquid rock salt?
Salty. It is. Salty, prick, bulbous, purple.
Rock salt.
Yeah. Yeah, right I see what you guys get
right off the cactopus.
It's all there. Yeah. It's all in the cactopus. So he ends up
rhubarb.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. He offered money to help find rhubarb. She was about to go with him, and her mom came out and chased the creepy man away. And
he went back and tried to sleep in their barn.
Yeah,
you missed that he has the implements of hell kit when he stabbed the kid in 1919.
Oh yeah, he did.
has his meat cleaver, butcher knife, and his small handsaw.
Yeah,
so now he has a fucking kill kit.
He's got a kill kit.
He has his kit now. He keeps it with him.
Yeah,
mine's lithium ion. I stepped it up. Yeah,
your saw.
Yeah, 24 volt.
Yeah, I have a bone saw. Yeah,
nice. This is 1924, and he also says that 1924 is when he upgraded from John the Apostle talking to him, and now he understood that God was commanding him to torture and sexually mutilate children.
Yeah. Well, he has kind of a weird like justification mentality. I think that he took his religion like really literal. Like he had the whole Abraham and Isaac thing in his head where he was like, he even said, I think at some point that if he was doing anything wrong by sacrificing these children, he felt that somehow he was going to have atonement for killing the kids. And that if he was actually doing anything wrong, then an angel would have stopped him.
Right. Oh. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, how can you blame him?
Yeah. That makes logical sense.
Yeah. I was mad at first, but after this explanation, I'm good.
That makes sense. Yeah. And he also said that this part wasn't him. It was the psychiatrist who observed him during his trial when he ultimately gets caught. But he said that he thinks that the cannibalism was him thinking that it was a form of communion with God.
It turned out he was Mexican. He lives in the barrio, and it was just his Uncle Jesus talking, whispering in his ear. And his cousin Angel didn't say shit.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And it was all white kids anyway. They're like, he's like, oh, go get him.
I'm like, black kids. I didn't care about the black kids. Jesus.
Angel's like, fuck, I don't care.
I don't care. Go get the Negro.
Go barely do it. Yeah, they're rival gangs.
I think we've just figured the whole thing out. Yeah. So
gangs of New York.
He ends up at one point, he molests another child named Cyril Quinn. Quinn and his friends were playing box ball on the sidewalk.
Yeah, well, wondering what the fuck is
it's
that?
It's a very 1920s
thing. You're kicking a fucking box? You have a box and you're kicking it around?
Like, it's probably like hopscotch. Like there's a square on the ground with chalk or some shit, you know? Brad's looking it up.
Yeah. Here's
the
rules. I was wondering what that was. I forgot about it.
That's some old timey shit, whatever it is. Box ball. He ends up luring him up.
Square.
Oh, four square. Okay.
Yeah, four square.
So he ends up luring him up for sandwiches, which apparently is the new rhubarb.
Yeah, I thought they got away.
I mean, they did. This is where the first time anyone discovered the implements of hell. Yeah. So the two boys were wrestling on Fish's bed, and they ended up dislodging the mattress, and under the mattress was his kill kit, and they saw it and they fucking ran.
Oh, that's right, because he had already been molesting that one kid.
Right.
Yeah. So I was thinking right there he got molested. Yeah, he'd been molesting that kid, and when he was playing with his friend, he snuck him up there.
Yeah, he was a freak.
And they're wrestling on the bed because fucking felt comfortable going up there and for sandwiches after dude was licking his butthole all week.
Mm. And it's like, meanwhile, like he's still got six kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, you think
he's got to feed him. Times are tough.
Yeah. There was a depression. On. Yeah, yeah. There was a depression on.
Times are tough. He's just a dad trying to do what he needs to do to feed his kids.
And he does. I mean, he gets remarried.
For a week.
He's trying. Yeah.
And he's trying. I'm guessing that week went something like, you know, she moved in.
Tell me about yourself. Well, I rape kids and eat their assholes.
And these are my implements of hell.
Yeah. I'd like you to meet Jerry, Jimmy, and Hank.
We call them the implements of hell. Yeah. Okay, check please. And she left. So they divorce after a week, and then he got arrested in the same year, a couple of months later, for sending an obscene letter to a woman who was asking for a maid, like in the newspaper.
Apparently he did that throughout his entire life. Like from age 12, he would respond to like classified ads for whatever they may be. There were like ones that people were looking for courtship, but things as simple as a maid or someone to help out for a job. And he got off on writing to him, and he would start it out really weird, man. I watched the documentary, and it's called Albert Fish, Through Sin He Found Salvation. And it got really mixed reviews, but I think the content, you're not going to make it like, that was great. There's no, I can't imagine anyone thinking it was
best documentary
great.
Ever.
Yeah. So, but they read the letters, like one of the letters he sends to someone through the advertisement, and it is just fucking so weird. It starts out with like, I'm glad that you like enjoy taking your clothes off when you bathe or some shit, like some really low key, like old school fucking sweet talk. And then he's like, and he should have been spanked. Maybe you could spank me that way. And it just escalates and escalates until she's pissing in his mouth and he's eating poop out of her butt or something fucking crazy. And so she presses charges on the fucking guy. And I think the real return address is there and shit, because maybe it's a numbers game and somebody might finally poop in your mouth if you send enough letters.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 out of 10. Yeah. 1 out of 10.
It's like going to the bar and getting slapped. Yeah. 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 Get slapped 10 times and fucked once. And so, just like,
well, because he gets arrested in May of 1930
He gets sent to Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital.
Right. Because at night, because of
for observation.
Because he gets arrested again for doing the same thing.
So he gets sent to a psychiatric hospital for observation. What kind of janky ass psychiatric hospital is this?
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because he had such like a mannerism about him. He looked like a little innocent old man. Like they said, literally, one of the psychiatric evaluations was like, if you were looking for someone to babysit your kids, literally, you would have looked at this guy and been like,
perfect.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because he was so innocent. Guess what? He's weak and feeble. Like he's not going to overpower anyone. And it just seems like a little kind old man. He was like soft spoken.
Well, and this is the other thing. Like you say that, like, and people wonder, like, how could you do it to kids? How could you kill a 6-year old? Well, he's the weak, feeble old man who's not going to take down a 20 year old.
Sure. No, that comes.
You know what I mean? Like, well, that's what I'm saying though. Like, you know, like this whole thing is gross and just, it's like, how could you do that? You know?
Right.
But there's your reason right there.
Right.
He's not going to take down a 20 or 30.
And he was
old.
So, and even, I mean, one of his nicknames was the Gray Man.
Cause he was old.
It comes from a different killing, but an eyewitness who saw him at the scene of the crime. And when they couldn't identify who he was, they just said he was an older man with gray hair and a gray mustache and a gray suit. And they said everything about him just looked gray. Yeah. So they started calling him the Gray Man. And this is for an unsolved murder. We'll get to that murder.
That was
later.
His music group.
Yeah. The Gray
That's Man. That's when he was in Las Vegas. The Gray Man group. Yeah.
Yeah. They do crazy shit. Yeah. So the case that got him busted was the case of a girl named Grace Budd, who was 10 years old.
Right.
So in May of 1928, and this is before he went to Bellevue or any of that stuff even, there was a classified ad in the newspaper, and it was basically a 18-year-old named Edward Budd who wanted to work. He was just looking for a chance to work in the country, like do farm labor, do whatever. And he posted an ad that he was interested. So Fish ends up reaching out. He's 58 at this point. And he says that he wants to hire the kid. And he wants to end up, you know, taking him out to his farm and all that kind of stuff. Sets up a date where he'll meet, but he doesn't meet. And then he telegrams him and says, oh, I couldn't make it. Let's set up a different date. So they're
He gave him a false name of Frank Howard and told him he was a farmer from Farmingdale, New York. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I was like, what are you? I'm a cook from Cookington.
Yeah.
Like, really?
I'm a train operator from Train Operator Field.
Yeah. So he's a farmer from Farmington. And he says later when he confesses about this that he had plans to tie Edward up, mutilate him, and then leave him to bleed to death.
Right.
So maybe he did leave that first guy to bleed to death after he cut off his.
Right.
No, because he patched it up.
Patched him up. Yeah.
So
slow bleed.
Anyway, he shows up as the farmer from Farmingdale, and he finally shows up at the house at a new date. And he ends up basically seeing Grace Budd, the 10-year-old sister, and changing his mind.
Well, the brother, I guess, looked like Magic Mike, and he was scared. He said the guy was too fucking strapped.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
He was like, oh, shit, I can't. That dude will whoop my ass.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But he said the tomboyish appearance of Grace, and he knew he could take her.
Right.
Was what shifted his and he couldn't take the brother out. It wasn't going to work. That dude would kick his ass. He wasn't like chloroform guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't giving people sleeping pills. He would literally have to.
He was overpowering him. Yeah.
So he ends up
And that's what I said. This is his decision to take on little kids because he can't. He can't take down an 18-year-old. Yeah.
So he ends up on the spot, changing his mind, changing his story. He's still the farmer from Farmingdale, but he has to attend his niece's birthday party there in the city. And he asks if Grace wouldn't mind going because it's going to be a bunch of girls her age and she should have it'll be the kitten's mittens.
Yeah, the bee's knees.
It would be a swell time had by by all. And the mother says, yeah, no problem.
The mother was objective at first. And the dad said, she's cooped up here all the time. She never gets to do anything fun. Why don't you let her go?
I bet you after she goes missing.
Fucking fuck. Horrifying, dude. Yeah.
This one bothered me so fucking bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they all bother me. But this one is just like, Jesus. The parents were like, yeah, go ahead. Go with the man. And
the guy that we just met.
The letter that he fucking
Here's the thing. This is in 1928. So she leaves with the man. They know what he looks like, obviously, but they're, you know, this is the fucking 1920s. It's not like there's
He gave them an address that was like 137th and blah, blah, blah. And it only went to 100th or something. Right. That didn't even exist.
Right. So he takes off and they never see their daughter again. And he ends up sending a letter in 1934 to the mother.
Because the police chief, like 6 years later or something, somehow they generate a false lead to act like they might have found the guy in hopes of luring out the real guy. Mm-hmm. And so they publish like a fake lead, and it incites him to go like, nah, fuck that. I did that shit. Like, right. And he sends the letter to mom stating what went down. And this ends up to his letter.
So shall I read the letter?
I say you read the letter. It's okay. Fucking rough. Yeah.
So, okay.
So the mom can't read. The brother, who was the original target, has to read it to her.
Oof. Right. Yes, that's correct.
So your daughter's been missing for 6 years. You probably still have hope because your mom and the fucking guy. Here's the letter.
Here's the letter.
Jesus Christ.
My dear Mrs. Budd, in 1894, a friend of mine shipped as a deckhand on the steamer Tacoma, Captain John Davis. They sailed from San Francisco to Hong Kong, China. On arriving there, he and two others went ashore and got drunk. When they returned, the boat was gone. At that time, there was a famine in China. Meat of any kind was from $1 to $3 a pound. So great was the suffering among the very poor that all children under 12 were sold to the butchers to be cut up and sold for food in order to keep others from starving. A boy or girl under 14 was not safe in the street. You could go in any shop and ask for steak, chops, or stew meat. Part of the naked body of a boy or girl would be brought out and just what you wanted cut from it. A boy or girl's behind, which is the sweetest part of the body, was sold as veal cutlets bought for the highest price. So this is just
is that historically a thing?
Like, no, they couldn't. No. They couldn't prove that any of that ever happened.
So, but that's just the opening letter. So she's still like, "What the fuck?
Yeah,
like what is this?" So. The letter continues, John stayed there so long he acquired a taste for human flesh. On his return to New York, he stole two boys, 1 7 and 1 11, took them to his home, stripped them naked, tied them in a closet, then burned everything they had on. Several times a day and night, he spanked them, tortured them to make their meat good and tender. First, he killed
like Kobe beef.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like Kobe Bryant. He does the same thing.
Yeah.
First, he killed the 11-year-old boy because he had the fattest ass and, of course, the most meat on it. Every part of his body was cooked and eaten except head, bones, and guts. He was roasted in the oven, parentheses, all of his ass, close parentheses, boiled, broiled, fried, stewed. The little boy was next, went the same way. At that time, I was living at 409 East 100th Street, rear right side. He told me so often how good human flesh was, I made up my mind to taste it. On Sunday, June the 3rd, 1928, I called on you at 406 West 15th Street. Brought you pot cheese, strawberries. We had lunch. Grace sat on my lap and kissed me. I made up my mind to eat her on the pretense of taking her to a party.
That's the only part I've highlighted. This part because is that true. Fucking horrified
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
You said yes, she could go. I took her to an empty house in Westchester that I already picked out. When we got there, I told her to remain outside. She picked wild flowers. I went upstairs and stripped all my clothes off. I knew if I did not, I would get her blood on them. When all was ready, I went to the window and called her. Then I hid in a closet until she was in the room. When she saw me all naked, she began to cry and tried to run downstairs. I grabbed her, and she said she would tell her mama. First, I stripped her naked. How she did kick, bite, and scratch. I choked her to death, then cut her in small pieces so I could take my meat to my rooms, cook and eat it. How sweet and tender her little ass was roasted in the oven. It took me 9 days to eat her entire body. I did not fuck her though. I could have if I wished. She died a virgin.
And someone said, like, psychologically, like, it was justified to him through some religious means because he didn't sexually defile her, that she was a martyr, that she would immediately go to heaven in his view.
That's probably why he sent the letter.
Yeah.
To let them know.
Can you imagine?
That was in his way that your daughter went to heaven, ma'am.
Right.
But in those
and
words.
And from the parent's standpoint, reading that fucking letter, dude.
Oh, my God.
Like, I want to kill people that don't exist right
because
now.
The first part of the letter, you're like, what the fuck, this crazy motherfucker? On? But then he's like,
why did he give the addresses?
Specifics?
Yeah.
Because the 100th street, that's where he told he was going to take. So they knew, this guy knew the exact story.
Right.
This is him.
Yeah.
Fucking insane.
Oh my God. And I just love the fact that, like, in the letter and then later to the cops, he keeps saying, like, you know, I could have raped her, but I didn't. Like, oh, fucking, well, good bully for you. Like, what an upstanding
guy. We'll just let you
guy.
Go. Yeah, oh, just let
you should explain that in the first place, Mr. Fish.
Sorry for the misunderstanding.
Yeah.
We thought you raped her and then killed her and then ate her ass.
This situation's different.
Like, this is a different story. So the letter, and this got a little funky and hard to follow. So they end up having the letter and the police look at it, and the envelope has a hexagon with the letters NYPCBA, which is for the New York Private Chauffeurs Benevolent Association. And they end up going to the company, and a janitor that works at the company says that he works there and he took some of the stationery home and just he rented a room from someplace and he just left it in the room when he moved out. So they end up saying, okay, so who got the room next? Because now we're on the trail of
Mr.
stationery.
Albert Fish.
Yes. So they find out that Albert Fish checked out of the room a few days earlier. And she said that Fish's son sent him money and that she was holding a check for Albert Fish and that he was going to come back and collect the check. So the detective, William King, who is the chief investigator, waits outside until Fish shows up and then arrests him. Fish says that he'll go to headquarters with him, then pulls out a razor blade. King disarms him and whoops him down and then takes him in to police headquarters. So he just like busts out the fucking straight razor.
And then they take him to the house like right then in the night, like to try to go investigate where the little girl was in that creepy house from the
letter. The one in Westchester.
Yeah. Like right then I live in Westchester. That's also what's extra creepy about this. Like the name of my neighborhood is Westchester.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's like not help. It's kind of close to home, but they go in the dark. They don't wait for the morning. They drag his ass out there and he finds the skull of the little girl. 6 years later, where it's
well, and it says that he said it never entered his head to rape the girl, but while he was kneeling on her chest, he ejaculated
twice,
involuntarily,
right? While he was strangling, which is pure serial killer.
I can't even do that on purpose,
involuntarily on purpose,
twice,
twice.
That's the impressive.
You gotta give me a break, we get a breather and a sandwich.
That's right, he has to go drink some milk.
No, not milk. Just ice water.
So,
not right now, though.
You were all serious. You're like, no, ice water. Yeah. That's what does the trick.
I don't drink milk anymore.
So he ends up getting arrested. It's in all the papers. So his face is publicized. And once people see the photos of him, people start showing up and they're like, oh, I fucking seen that guy where this kid went missing.
Yeah.
So like people start to show up with all this evidence of other people. So one is there was a kid named Francis McDonald who was reported missing by his parents, from Staten Island. He went missing. They couldn't find him. They organized a search and they found his body hanging from a tree in a wooded area. He had been sexually assaulted and he had been strangled with his own suspenders, which is what he was hanging from the tree with.
Seems like way out of your way for an old dude, like to choke you with suspenders and then hang you up in the tree. Yeah. Like, why would you not just leave you on the ground and put leaves over
him? I have no idea.
I would put a light on him.
He had lacerations to his legs and abdomen. His hamstring had been almost entirely ripped out of his leg. And this was the one where the mother said, I saw a guy and he was gray. And this is where the gray man nickname came from. And then once she saw the photo in the paper, she was like, that's that fucking guy. That
and
did
you got
this
him
to
in
my
captivity.
Son. And they asked him about it. The cops were like, did you do this? And he was like, nope. And they were like, seriously? He was like,
Yep.
like seriously,
the way they those put it was crazy, like it was like
interrogation
they,
tactics.
They asked him, and he said no. But later, he just confessed to it. It's like it didn't sound like they had to really put the heat to him. He just kind of like it's like no.
Well, probably at first he thought maybe. He could get off. Yeah. Well, he got off, but I'm saying
twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
But he thought he could probably get away. But then once they started putting this stuff together, he's probably like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Like, might as well just confess.
So another one, which is where he got his nickname, the Boogeyman, was a kid named Billy Gaffney. He was playing with some other kids. Albert Fish kidnapped him. And this is the one where later on they said that they saw him. Like the eyewitnesses linked him to this because they saw him on a train with this boy and
his
he was
brother
like,
was like on the roof or something like,
yeah, they were like playing on the roof and like, it was kind of weird, but they said that like,
well, the brother they were playing in a hallway and the 12-year-old like went off and they came back and the other kid was disappeared.
Right. He told them the boogeyman took him.
The four-year-old told him.
Yeah.
And then people who were on the train saw a creepy old man with a kid who was like protesting and wanted to be with his mom. And he like manhandled the kid and took him off the train. And then these were the witnesses that later said, no, I think this was that guy.
Right.
So then they asked him about this one. And here's another.
This is where he gets 50 Shades of Grey.
Wonderful
right
fucking letter.
He has a homemade cat of nine tails.
Jesus. So here, I'll read through this letter. I think this is another letter worthy of reading to get the full Albert Fish experience. So this is a letter. Once the cops
ride at Disneyland,
the cops show up and they're like, did you do this? And this letter is a letter he wrote to his attorney. So the cops are like, did you kill Billy Gaffney? And he's like, let me write my attorney real quick. And this is the letter. So you're his lawyer and you get this in the mail. I brought him to the Riker Avenue dumps. There is a house that stands alone, not far from where I took him. I took the G-boy there, the Gaffney boy, stripped him naked and tied his hands and feet and gagged him with a piece of dirty rag I picked out of the dump. Then I burned his clothes, threw his shoes in the dump. Then I walked back and took a trolley to 59th Street at 2 a.m. and walked home from there.
Go ahead.
Okay. Next day, about 2 p.m., I took tools, a good heavy cat of nine tails, homemade, short handle, cut one of my belts in half, slit these half in six strips about 8 inches long. I whipped his bare behind till the blood ran from his legs.
I don't want to do these anymore. I really fucking don't.
It's fucking hard.
If anyone's looking for a podcast host, we have to keep doing this.
So again, we've said multiple times you can tap out. This is another good tap out moment. So I'll pause for you to tap out.
Moment of silence.
Okay. Yeah. I cut off his ears, nose, slit his mouth from ear to ear, gouged out his eyes. He was dead then. I stuck the knife in his belly and held my mouth to his body and drank his blood. I picked up four old potato sacks and gathered a pile of stones. Then I cut him up. I had a grip with me. I wasn't sure what he meant by that.
He had a lot of stones, man.
Oh, a grip.
A gang of stones. It was a grip back then. It's a gang.
I put his nose, ears, and a few slices of his belly in the grip. Then I cut him through the middle of the body, just below his belly button, then through his legs about 2 inches below his behind. I put this in my grip with a lot of paper. I cut off the head, feet, arms, hands, and legs below the knee. I put this in sacks weighted with stones, tied the ends, and threw them into the pools of slimy water you'll see all along the road going to North Beach. Water is 3 to 4 feet deep. They sank at once. I came home with my meat. I had the front of his belly I liked best. His monkey and peewees and a nice little fat behind to roast in the oven and eat. I made a stew out of his ears, nose, pieces of his face and belly. I put onions, carrots, turnips, celery, salt and pepper. It was good. Then I split the cheeks of his behind open, cut off his monkey and peewees and washed them first. I put strips of bacon on each cheek of his behind and put it in the oven. Then I picked four onions, and when the meat had roasted about a quarter hour, I poured about a pint of water over it for gravy and put in the onions. At frequent intervals, I basted his behind with a wooden spoon so the meat would be nice and juicy. In about 2 hours, it was nice and brown, cooked through. I never ate any roast turkey that tasted half as good as his sweet, fat little behind did. I ate every bit of the meat in about 4 days. His little monkey was as sweet as a nut, but his peewees I could not chew. Threw them in the toilet.
Yeah, he overcooked those. They got chewy. He's the motherfucker's the next Paula Deen. You almost forget he's talking about a kid when he's talking about, like,
here's the deal. Dave has a sweet caramel voice like Seth Rogen over there. In the documentary, they read it in the creepiest fucking old man voice. And then the whole time, I literally was sitting in the coffee shop and they had like images of like a fucking pot roast in an oven, but they were describing this. And so they kept showing it. And I was like, I felt like everyone could hear it. And I was like, so fuck, I don't want to watch this.
So a grip is a traveling bag. So it's like a duffel bag.
Okay.
So
I looked away from the fucking screen while it was just like pot roast, I'm sure, but I couldn't fucking watch it.
Yeah. I doubt
they didn't ass. Have I doubt it was little boy fucking ass little boy roast. Ass in the pan. Showing you pictures.
I'm saying it could have been like a movie prop, something.
Oh, right.
Some weird fake thing, but,
So that's his letter to his lawyer. He ends up,
I'm kind of mad. He didn't like, he said he put salt and pepper and onions. He didn't say how much.
Yeah, he did.
Just a pinch.
Yeah, just a pinch. Yeah. Not too much.
I guess you add salt, pepper, onions,
to taste.
Carrots to taste. Yeah. He fucked.
Cause later he specifies, I picked 4 onions, but earlier it's just onions, carrots, turnips, celery, salt and pepper. So I'm allergic to celery, so I couldn't have eaten it.
Yeah, I'd have been fine.
You're out.
I'm out.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you just don't put the celery in. We could try it.
We could try it without the celery.
I'm allergic to monkeys.
I think if you die and haven't had human, then you died a sad person.
Yeah.
Brad and I said we're going to cut a piece of each other off and try it.
Yeah. I think we should. I think it's only right.
Where are we taking it?
Like I don't know.
Thigh or something?
Yeah, I think so.
The thigh?
Yeah.
That's the meaty part.
I think
no matter how fat we are in any other section, you can get to the meat.
Just do it if you ever have to have surgery.
Hey,
just like you're going under the knife anyway. Doc, could you just like, just a thin, just a strip?
Can you give me a piece of, can you give me a leg bacon?
Put that on.
Can you give me leg bacon?
Just give me a strip. You can have some if you want. I just want to.
They said it tastes like veal, which I've never had veal, but.
Well, according to Fish, only the sweet little ass tastes like veal.
Baby deer.
Yeah. So
veal is just, it doesn't taste any different. It's really, really tender.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So he goes on trial March 11th, 1939. He pleads insanity because
he's God, insane.
Because he's fucking sane. Yeah.
He wasn't wrong to plead insanity.
No, he wasn't.
And it literally says none of the jurors doubted that he was insane, but ultimately.
Yeah. They all said, no, he's insane and he needs to die.
Anyway, yeah.
Like, so, but the psychiatrist who testified about Fish said that his sexual fetishes included sadism, masochism, cunnilingus, analingus, fellatio. Ooh. Flagellation, exhibitionism, voyeurism, picarism, cannibalism, coprophagia, urophilia, pedophilia, and infibulation.
What was the one? The peaker one? What was it?
Picarism.
That's where you look through mini blinds?
No. It's P-I-Q-U-E-R.
I'm pretty sure that is.
Brad's like, no.
That's totally different.
No, that's different.
That's called blinding.
I didn't know what the infibulation was, and it's
genital. Oh, Andre Cicatello also was a peaker.
Genital mutilation is infibulation.
Andre Cicatello was a peakerism. So was Jack the Ripper and Albert Fish. So.
Which one was peakerism? Yeah, I looked it up, but I forgot what it was.
Peakerism is a sexual interest in penetrating the skin of another person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you stab them,
all the needles, all the ejaculating. That's the thing. So the lawyer claimed that he was a psychiatric phenomenon and that nowhere in any legal or medical records was there another individual who possessed so many sexual abnormalities.
Until now.
Yeah. So this is where it comes out that he was obsessed with God and that he thought the flesh was a communion and all this different stuff. And,
so he didn't have the religious mania that his uncle had.
Absolutely. His brother. Yeah.
Or his brother. Yeah.
So again, the entire jury says, yes, he's insane. And the entire jury says, yes, fry his ass. And they sent him to prison in 1935.
Killed
and
then in 1936,
they gave him the electric chair at Sing Sing. He entered the chamber at 11:06 p.m., was pronounced dead a few minutes later. His last words were reportedly, I don't even know why I'm here.
And damn. I guess there was like some last writings of his final hours that like the legal system wouldn't even release because they said it was so bad. They said it was such like whatever an atrocity. They would never let anyone see the last of his writings.
It must have been really bad because the letters to his lawyer and the woman were pretty bad.
If those weren't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. On the documentary that I watched, they had a guy with like an oddities museum, and he had gone to like wherever the public records of the actual letter was held, the letter that he sent to the little girl about the pot cheese and strawberries sitting on my lap. I decided to eat her. He went in to see if he could get a photocopy of the letter. And I guess it's like public record or something. He went to get the photocopy and the clerk got confused and handed him the original letter and put the photocopy back in the envelope. And he said, well, I guess Fish wanted me to have it. Took it, put it in his oddities museum, and it's on the wall. I was like, how is he talking about that in the documentary?
Yeah, no shit.
He has the real letter on the wall, and that's the story of how he got it. I might have been distracted at some point.
It might not have been real, though.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but that's the story. He has the actual letter from Albert Fish in that oddities museum, and it said somewhere else that the resting place of where it ended up. I don't think so. This dude's weird. He wants it for sure. Yeah.
Jesus. Or it's just a really
good... Just tell him you'll give him analingus and he'll give it up to you.
Could just be a good sales technique. No, seriously, this is the real one at my museum. Come check it out. You know? Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so Albert Fish, perhaps the worst monster that we have covered ever.
And I guess throughout his thing, he got picked up a couple times. He was arrested, Sing Sing, like all those things, and no one ever picked up on it. Nope. But once again, there was no like centralized database. This is before the FBI.
I think he just has a bad rap, guys.
But we've seen serial killers much more contemporary that just fucking got away with shit in the fucking 80s and got arrested multiple times with their gay lover naked.
No, that's my boyfriend. He's bleeding from his butthole because I just fucked him. Yeah.
I mean, never underestimate the human capability to like not the other see thing, this.
The other
like,
thing,
I don't want this to be real.
Right. So
and
just
I'm
move
just,
along.
Just move along.
The other thing is too, like if they think it's normal, they're not acting weird.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They're just like,
that's a good point.
Yeah. I've got an arm in my bag, but it's just another normal day.
Yeah.
They're not like, oh my God, like somebody's going to catch me. Like,
right.
No, it's normal to them. Yeah, so
they compartmentalize it. Yeah. It's just completely separate.
They're not doing anything wrong. So,
This was an especially rough one. So it might be our last true crime because it seems like it really fucked up Brent.
Can it get any worse?
I just don't want to have to study that is my problem. Like maybe I can do something.
Just be like me and don't.
What would I do with my whole Sunday?
Yeah. Oof. This one was rough. And considering that like our next episode is about Walt Disney.
Yeah. Huge contrast.
And I studied Walt Disney first. I should have done that shit the other way around.
Because now Walt Disney looks like a serial killer.
I needed
now.
A palate cleanser. Like I did Walt Disney first and everything was fucking zippity doodah. And then I did this and everything was zippity a.
All right. Is it sponsor time?
Yeah.
Then quit talking about
dead children and analingus.
Analingus was exactly what was going to come out of my mouth. That's where it usually comes from.
Yeah. Normally, especially your mouth.
Wool light and lighter fluid.
So a reminder, our El Yucateco Soap King podcast meetup is coming up on August 19th in Anaheim at the House of Blues. And so we want as many people to go if you can. I understand that's like probably impossible for some of you. It's a long way for a lot. But if you can, you know, if you can make it, it would be really cool to get to meet some of you guys. And if you can wear your shirt and represent, that would be really cool too.
And you'll get a chance to win.
Yeah, they're going
to
give away a GoPro and some other stuff. We're going to try to bring some prizes with us as well. And we want to meet you guys. And
even though it's at the House of Blues, you don't indeed have to have the blues to go.
True. Yeah. You might get them when you're all disappointed when you see us, though. Never meet your heroes.
Damn,
even podcast
I got the
ones.
Blues now.
So on that note, thank you to El Yucateco. You can find them at most major grocery stores. They're available online as well on their website. They have a gear store. You can buy shirts and merchandise from them. You can use code SOFAKING to save some money doing so. If you're outside of the U.S., you can get El Yucateco generally on eBay. Amazon, you can get it at mexgrocer.co.uk. Also, thank you to Print Dirt Cheap. They do printed goods, stickers. We've actually had quite a few people message me about Print Dirt Cheap and have ordered several things. I know, I was supposed to have her name and her info, but there's a Cryptid Con coming up like in September. One of our fans in, I think, Kansas is having an event, as is Jason Krupski from Ectoplasm is having an event coming up pretty soon.
I think that's the one in Kansas.
It starts with a K. Maybe it's Arkansas. I don't know.
Somewhere over there.
Yeah.
Somewhere in K. Who gives a shit?
Arkansas. I
think it starts with a K. It's in Arkansas.
No, I changed my mind is what happened. Right. That part happened in my head out loud.
You just turned into a pirate. It's called Kinsaw, but you say Arkansas.
So that stuff's in our group. They've posted, and I'll try to do better. Maybe next episode I'll look at my phone and find
it. We've never been better, and I don't expect us to get better.
Lots of promises, but it doesn't happen. Empty promises. Yeah. We'll never be better than this.
No.
Yeah. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
It's just like life.
Fatter, older, uglier, and then we die.
Saggier Dangerfield.
Yes. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics for our t-shirts. We're completely stocked up on all of our shirts, mugs, and all that good stuff. So check out our merch store, and thank you to DeLeon Graphics for those products. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs and heat transfer goods. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram. They do one-offs of coffee mugs, keychains, mouse pads, stuff like that. Also, thank you to Dan Camrio at Camrio Jiu Jitsu. You can get his stuff at armhunter.com, instructional DVDs and apparel. And I also wanted to say thank you to Breakers Podcast, Sam and Sammy. I actually went on a road trip out of town and I binge listened to all the episodes and I'm all caught up. And like some of you, I am waiting for tomorrow morning to see what happens. It's a really good podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would be into a storytelling style podcasting like that, but they're geniuses. They've got me hooked and I await the next episode. So check out Breakers Podcast. It's available on iTunes and also Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcasts there. They even have a MySpace. I tried to make us a MySpace just to compete. And then I was like, fuck this shit, dude. I couldn't even scroll. There's like,
it's slow.
It's the most
horrible,
unnavigable, fucking crazy. It's good for a joke. We have one. It's there. I couldn't do anything with it though. It's just completely retarded. I don't know how anyone uses it for anything. But check out Breaker's podcast because it's good. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right. Don't be retarded.
Fresh out that oven. 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 Busting down doors, busting down tours. You were still in Walmart, busting down floors. Need help? I could show you how to bust down yours. Been around the world twice, third time for the score. Now I'm fresh out the oven, so hot. Get the baker's mitt. Plus we in the Staples Center, sitting where the Lakers sit. Danny G Beats, Danny G Video, Amir TV. Views up from a year ago, now we on TV. Put an M in front of that. Cloud 9 fly, sky high where the ruler at. Fresh as Febreze, fresh like whatever. I guess it's safe to say that we fresh all together. They keep it 100, we keep it 10 billion. Dreams of the four-door Porsche, low emissions. Fans in Japan, nah, I think that was Tokyo. Love aside in Paris, can't forget about Toronto, yo. Fresh out that oven, chasing my tomorrow. Chest full of pride, big bag of product. Fresh out the oven, chasing my tomorrow. Chest full of pride, big bag of product. Fresh out that oven, fresh out that oven. 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 Back to the oven, back to the kitchen. Cooking up a souffle, you can do the dishes. We was making pop art, why they all pop? Shh. Aiming at the pop charts, watching how the clock tick. Shouts to Gallardo, shouts to success. Too many names, I ain't shouting out the rest. Chef Boyard A, whipping Betty Crocker. I bake it, they love it, my temperature be proper. My mind in the millions, used to dream of hundreds. Side effects, spending days and nights in the oven. Miracles that we whip, last past Mayo. Flights to Ibiza, working on a payroll. Hustle through the day flow, grind through the night shift. All I see is dots, then I start connecting them. Live since day one, now I'm on a dose clip. We gon' do the damn thing, y'all can all witness this. Fresh out that oven, chasing my tomorrow. Chest full of pride, big bag of product. Fresh out the oven, chasing my tomorrow. Chest full of pride, big bag of product. Fresh out that oven, fresh out that oven. Fresh out that oven, 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 fresh out that oven. I'm a boss, I'm a leader. King in the speakers, wordplay fly, hit them onomatopoeias, paper plane stamp passports, check cut visas, flyed in the heavens, gotta see it to believe it, stock drop roll for the evil side of money, flip a perfect penny to a stack in the moment, spread my wings, let the wind dance amongst it, fresh out the oven, you can smell us when we coming, fresh out the oven, chasing my tomorrow, chest full of pride, big bag of product, fresh out the oven, chasing my tomorrow, chest full of pride, big bag of product, fresh out that oven, 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 fresh out that oven.